Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us this Thursday night, and we look forward to having another hour and a half full of dialogue. If you joined us Tuesday, you know we abbreviated our show, largely due to the fact that I had some dental work done, but we're back in full steam now. And Tuesday, we did part one of this two-part series entitled How to Balance the Expectations of the Bible and the Law. And we discovered in our conversation on Tuesday that there's a lot of misunderstanding or conflict relative to what is it that God or the Bible dictates that one should do in society in which we live today as related to the laws that govern us and how things should be fairly attributed to our circumstances and situation. So tonight, we're talking about part two. And as we talked about on Tuesday, the Bible, tonight we're going to talk about the American law or legal system. If you're just joining us in this conversation, this is Talk Straight and Building Families and Communities Institute, as you heard in our advertisement, is the sponsor of the show. And we encourage you to go and look us up and learn a little bit more about us and shoot us an email from that webpage or give us a call. Give me a call on that webpage. You'll find all that contact information. What we normally do is we offer a monologue as context for our conversation each night, and I will do that tonight. If for any reason the information we provide needs to be fact-checked or double-checked or re-looked at, we'll be happy to go and do that, and you can just communicate with us via email. And we've been announcing since we started in 18 that if you have an idea, a concept that you'd like to bring to the show, we'd love to vet that for you. So if you'll shoot me an email again or call me, we can work that out and put together a show to have you come on. We have some others that we're looking forward to bringing on. We're going to do a show about crime intervention, advocacy, and community policing, and we have a professor from Fisk University that we're working with to bring on to do that sometime in the near future. But anyway, the number to give us a call here live is 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. I'm going to try to work through our monologue here so we can get to our listening audience. I see we have callers in queue already. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Again, this is Reuben Dockery. This is your host for Talk Straight. And we got Pastor Ricky Waller with us, our regular panelist. We're grateful for him And I think Nicole is joining us as well. But we're gonna get right back with you. If you'll bear with us here just for a minute as we get through our monologue, and then we'll open up our phone lines and let's have some real conversation. So again, we're talking, this is the second part of a two-part series, how to balance the expectations of the Bible. And tonight we're talking about balancing that with your life and the law. Colossians, the third chapter, 22nd and 23rd verse reads, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." When this was written, the Apostle Paul and Timothy were addressing the church at Colossae, knowing that they were under the Roman rule and that they were trying to live according to the faith that they had gained through Paul and Timothy's teaching. They tried to offer them some instruction as how not to get in trouble with the Roman government and get killed, but at the same time be faithful to God. And then so they were telling them that don't be foolish. Recognize who has physical rule over you, that being the Roman government at the time. And make sure that even when you follow those laws, that you give God praise to your best ability, and that you know that what you're doing is being obedient so that God will make a way for you ultimately. All right? We learned on Tuesday from our text that what Jesus taught is that you should first obey God's commandment, and he gave us two, that he summed it up. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Upon those two, he said, all the laws and the prophets hang. So we conclude from the text that even when you're in a system that you may feel is unfair and unright, there is an expectation that you govern yourself accordingly. All right, we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about the law tonight, though. Give me just a moment. For the social group in America that has historically been exploited, abused, and oppressed, there's a long tradition of distrust for the very legal system that for a long time protected those who did the exploiting, the abusing, and the oppressing. After approximately 152 years now of being legally free to exercise the rights and privileges afforded to all citizens of America by the United States Constitution, there still remains skepticism, frustration, and animus against the American jurisprudence system, particularly for those in urban American ghettos who on a day-to-day feel social economic pinch, finding themselves disproportionately facing negative engagement with the criminal justice system more than any other ethnic group. Consequently, they develop a subcultural stance that says we are anti-law and we're anti-government. This becomes a pseudo-protective barrier or asset for them. In the conversation about how to keep young people in particular, who we constantly see all over America getting caught up, not only in the streets dying, but getting caught up in the criminal justice system, from becoming a victim of the criminal justice system, it's necessary to explain a few things. And let me just go through them right quickly, and then we're going to open up our phone lines. So the question often is, well, who made these laws? The United States Congress, through the elected senators, two for each state, and based on your population, so many House of Representatives. that come there, 535 to be exact. They make up the laws for the country, as they did over 249 years ago. Okay? So from there, the state that you live in is what established your rights as a citizen based on your local address, the state that you live in. That's how your citizenship is established. Constitution protects your human rights, right? And the state identifies the boundaries of your citizenship. But then further, your local municipality or county or city government have the power to establish ordinances as well. They can't supersede the state law, and that state law can't supersede federal law. But either way, there are three tiers of government that you are under, that we all are under in the United States of America. All right, so the question is, well, why do they exist in the first place? Why are they necessary, all these laws they got that govern us? Generally, laws are drafted into legislation as a result of actions of people that require a legal rule or guidance in the interest of keeping everybody safe and to ensure fairness in society. They set a precedent for order and structure for everybody. Without them, we'd have the Wild Wild West. Okay? So how do I avoid trouble with the law? That's a quintessential question that needs to be asked, one we posted on Facebook. Well, establishing a personal governance first. See, parents should teach their children to grow up with self-governance first. All right? And that should permeate in your family and in your neighborhood. Knowing what the expectations of every citizen, that's what part of what your public education is supposed to afford you, knowledge of how to be a good, law-abiding, productive citizen in your city and in your state. That's part of what your public K-12 education is supposed to provide you when you graduate. I realize that in southern states, primarily, they've taken civics out altogether. That's a whole other issue there. All right? Then lastly, to follow prescribed rules for everyone. Here's the thing. There are proscriptive edicts and prescriptive. The prescriptives are those that are written and codified in law for everybody. Proscriptive behaviors or norms are those that tend to go on maybe on your block, in your hood, among a certain ethnic group. That may fly there, but when you get out there in a larger context of society, that dog will not hunt. Okay, and it's important to understand that. What if a law is unjust, Doctor? Then what? And we've seen that. We've seen that with the Civil Rights Movement. We've seen that with the Women's Rights Movement in the 1800s. We've seen in other cases, even with slavery, where there was a need, the Civil War was fought, and so forth and so on. There were instances in American history where laws were unjust, they were not fair. Well, what do? You challenge the constitutionality of those laws in the court system. You got a right to do so. And as a voter, you make sure you vote individuals in that will change legislation that benefits you and is not unfair to your interests. Okay? Now, what I'd like to do before we go any further is I want Stevie Wonder to say something for you for about a minute or so that I think will kind of speak to the context of who we're talking about and how we deal with the struggle of meeting expectation of law, as well as trying to be true to our faith that we prescribe in, and then we go straight to our phone lines.
Keep him strong, moving in the right direction.
you say his sister's black.
She is, but ain't no anointing.
Her clothes are old, but never are they dirty. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to have our callers with us here. Pastor Waller, good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. I believe we have a new caller. Nicole, good evening. How are you, ma'am? Okay, I guess she's going to join us. I believe we have a new caller from 770-2583. We go by your prefix of your number in the last four digits, unless you so choose to identify yourself by name. But nonetheless, welcome to Talk Straight. And you heard our monologue. Any question or comment about that? Or perhaps you have a different thought? 2583.
Are you talking to how y'all doing?
Good, sir. Mighty fine. Mighty fine. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, I was just listening. I've gotten a call from Nicole. Nicole was inviting me on. She invited me on the station. I'm just listening. That's why I was just listening. And
yes, sir.
And I heard what you were saying to the government and pertaining to, you know, what's going on, especially with our society, with the kids and with what's going on. But I still feel that we still, as people, still need to, you know, pray about this. Pray. It's going to take that, no matter what.
Okay.
But if you're going to go up on the devil's territory, you got to definitely be prepared to deal with the devil. You can't fight the devil with his own mind. You got to fight the devil in the spirit. Whatever you do, you got to be able to know the weapons, what to choose when you get ready to come up on the devil's turf.
Okay.
And when you're dealing with that, you know, if you're not prepared, it ain't going to work. You're still going to be in the same thing. Raising your hand for the same situation, I just see if it's a battle like that, you just got to be prepared.
Okay.
Especially when
in a
situation like
that.
You need the wisdom of God.
Sure, sure. And caller, that's a struggle for many people to be steadfast in their faith and belief when they're faced with these challenges in American society, you know, because oftentimes it doesn't seem like things are working in their favor, and they're forced to do things that they may feel like God is not happy with. That's oftentimes the mindset, particularly of churchgoers. Now, not everybody is a Christian or churchgoer and that sort of thing, but oftentimes those who have historically been so have faced that challenge, and I have, as a pastor for the last 22 years, I've seen it quite often where people just throw their hands up and say, you know, forget about all of it. I'm going to, you know, get it the way I live. And it seems to me that's where the young people are. So your point is well taken, I believe. Pastor Waller, what do you say about that?
Well, yeah, I do believe that, you know, it's obvious that there's certain things that we are lacking in, and I would be the first to say that if we don't know no better, we don't show no better. It's hard to apply the word of God when you don't know it, and I know you started out by making it known in the book of Colossians, as you shared about servants, obey in all things your master according to the church, not with time. As men pleasing, because there's a lot of men pleasing going on, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Right.
And the thing is that just knowing that, I have to reiterate, because it is great information right there. And it says that whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so if people, as you say, you know, what they know. And there's a learning behavior out there, man, and he was talking about, you know, going out into the devil's territory, you know, you have to be equipped. And my question would be, where is the devil's territory at? It's almost like, do a person know who is the devil and how is he dressed? And, you know, how would you know who he is? You know what I mean? It's so powerful that the devil is doing the people's work that even people that don't know get with the devil and don't even know that they're getting with him. You know, so there's a whole
right.
lot going on there, and we have to
right.
be able to discover or to learn what is the devil, who is the devil, where is he located, and how to go about dealing with it. So, yeah, he's right on target. I think that he said something that, you know, is to be looked into, I would say.
Okay.
But, you know,
Nicole, any comment?
Don't mean to cut you off, but in the Bible, before they went to war, they prayed. And they prayed, and
yes,
David
sir.
And all them asked, he said, God, is it all right? You know, will we take this
right.
group, or take it? God gave them the okay. So a lot of times we be forgetting to pray about things. So, man, we just go,
yes,
and sometimes we take matters in our own hands. It get into
true.
A place where things are getting out of hand. Well, sometimes
right.
we done took it out of God's hand and try to put it, like you said, in our own hands to deal with the devil. Like you said, yeah, where is the devil? The devil is everywhere.
Right. Yes,
you know what
sir.
I'm saying? But if you pray, God will let you know where the devil at. You ain't got he ain't got to look like now, but you can detect his spirit and detect the atmosphere where you at pertaining to where you going. Because if the anointing in you, it should destroy the yoke. The wisdom should come be able to how to deal with these devils. Like you said, if I need a screwdriver, what I'm doing with a socket wrench.
Okay, now so caller. I appreciate what you're saying, and I play the devil's advocate sometimes. I'm gonna defend the devil, and I think when you beat me up, you let the devil know he has no case. You're okay, and I appreciate what you and Pastor Wallace are saying. Let me hear from Nicole. Any comment, Nicole, thus far?
Not right now.
Okay, so 2583. I hear where you're coming from, Doc. I get you, man. I follow you. And I hear where Pastor Wallace is coming from. But here's a reality that we find ourselves facing. Well, let me ask the question. Let me just go ahead and pose the question. 2583, if you don't mind, start off by answering this question. And I think that will open up the broader context of the conversation that we perhaps can go down. Because really, gentlemen, lady and gentlemen, what we're looking at is how do we keep our babies, our young males and females, from getting caught up in the criminal justice system. Somehow, two or three generations before them, they knew how to pray, and they knew how to keep things in focus. These young folk don't go to church. They don't pray. What they pray on is what the Facebook and Instagram and other social media apps and what's going on the street tell them. That's their source of inspiration quite often, okay? So let me just pose a question, and then perhaps you all can help me with it. Here's one of the first questions that was posted on Facebook. And by the way, thank you, Ms. Vance, for listening to us. If you like, and as well as Pastor Kelvin Walker, if you like, you can communicate with us via Facebook and or give us a call here, 657-383-0944. All right, question is, what if a law is unjust? Do you A, go out and protest, B, challenge it in the courts, or C, loot stores to express your frustration? You want to take a stab at that for me, 2583?
What was the first one you said?
All right. So you feel like the law is unjust. Do you go out the streets and protest? You get a lot of people go out there and just protest, do a march.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you challenge it in the courts? Or do you loot stores to show your frustration?
Well, that all depends on who the person is. If the person, the praying person.
Okay.
I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real.
This is talk straight. That's why we call it talk straight.
I know. Okay. And I like that because, it all depends on who the person is. Some people can't handle situations when situations have come up. Like I said, David always prayed and got an answer from God pertaining to situations and things. Now, if you're going to fight the devil on this turf and then ain't got no weapons with you to deal with the devil, then he's going to beat you because you're going to be doing a physical battle when you're dealing with the devil. You got to know who he is and what you're dealing with. And like I said, depend on the person. It depends on the person, because some do win it, you know, with a march. Some do win it. It all depends on what weapon at that point in time you need to use to deal with that battle. So if I need to deal with a situation and I don't know anybody that came all of a sudden, so I got to ask God, what's going on, God? What do I need to do concerning this? Sometimes he might tell me don't do nothing.
I see. Okay, interesting. What about
Or he
Pastor
might
Wilder?
Tell me, go to your legislator and take this to them and send it there and do that. It all depends on how, like I said, who the person is to get the wisdom from God. It still go back to God to get your answer. Still, like you said, yeah, we had generations that done prayed, and the reason why a lot of time people ain't praying no more because a lot of them left that prayer life. Raise up a child the way they should. When they grow old, they shall not depart. A lot of people not even setting their children down and giving and instilling the things in them anymore. They might don't even take their children to church no more. And when you don't do that, because they only dealing with the natural thing, but when the spiritual thing comes, like you said, where's the devil at? The devil is the god of this world. So he's doing his work. So how are you going to be able to deal with him? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So it's going to take prayer. It's going to take time to even get with God pertaining to this devil, to how to beat him, to beat the devil. You can't beat the devil on your own. You're going to need the wisdom from God. You're still going to need it. A lot of people don't got away from it.
All right, hold that thought, caller. Let me lean on you for just a second, if that's all right. Pastor Wilder, don't go nowhere. So is there ever a time that you consult God and God is going to tell you take the last choice, and that is to go out and tear up stores, pilgrimage, and loot them to show your frustration?
You bring that
2583? Yes, 2583. I'm talking to you. Yes.
Yeah, you said the last choice.
Is there ever a time where you will consult God in prayer and God will tell you that it's okay to go out with other people, go and bust windows open in stores, set them on fire, and steal and rob from those stores to show that you're frustrated with the way the law or things are situated?
No, I don't think my God would tell me that. Because in his word, he said, be ye angry, but sin not. You could be angry, but you don't have to sin with the anger. So in the midst of all that, no, I'm not going to be busting out no windows and going and, you know, rallying and doing all that stuff like that. No, I'm not going to do all that. Where God at? Because you still got to go back to him.
You're on point, Doc. You're on point. Hold on 1 second. Let me bring Pastor Wally in. Nicole, were you trying to say something, Blylin?
I just said you can't go tearing them no stuff because you're going to go to jail.
Okay. Pastor Wally, come on, man. Help me out here, man.
You can go protesting because you can go to jail too. It depends on that.
Right. Okay. Hold on, Nicole. Pastor, come on, Pastor. Help me out, man. Bail me out here. Pastor Wally, you there?
Yeah, I think I believe the wisdom and the knowledge of God is always appropriate when you have it. And it's like, you know, what's going on out in the real world, man. I mean, there are people that just don't know God. And so going for what you know is something that one would do, would react, and things like that. But it's only when you have learned the will of God for your life and you know what to do and what not to do. But again, it goes back to, from my learning, that the devil has a position. And in his position, what he has done and continued to do is to have more power than most of the people that attend church and that are not in church. And I'm saying all that to say that you will come up inside of a church just as quick as someone who said they know the Lord and post up and listen to everything that they do and participate in it in a manner, because Word of God does say this. He says that there was someone that transformed himself into an angel of light, you know. And so if a person can't see that, you know, if he's not aware of that, then he's getting ready to be bamboozled right there. And that's inside the building. Now, you can only imagine the hurt that's on the outside, man, of people that's crying out, that's looking for some help. And so they'll go and they'll tap something because they don't know.
Right.
And, you know, so it's all about what you shared from the beginning when it says, servants obey in all things. You know, and that it said in all things. It's not easy, man, to be able to have a steadfastness,
that's
you know,
it.
Every day and obey what it is that you've been instructed to do.
Correct.
According to knowing, as you just said, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. Now, you know, you got that. You can obey. If you can really do that, you got a reward coming. But let me remind you, it's not easy because inside the church, there's a lot of people, from only my experience now, I'm not talking about wondering.
Okay.
I'm not talking about I think. I'm talking about from my experience, the devil is inside the church, man, on a, I mean, a powerful level, you know? Yeah, not a powerful level. And I mean, when the devil come posted up, he's coming to seek who he may devour.
Right.
See? He already got them outside. The only best place to get the ones who think they know the Lord is to go up inside where they are.
Wow.
You know, and post up and look just like them. You see?
Okay.
And so that's the reason why it's good to be able to put the full armor on. That way, you know, when the fiery darts be shot at you, you won't think they're just coming from outside. They can be coming from the inside, and you'll know they have to be affiliated with the devil to be able to shoot shots at you like that. You see, yeah, it's. I mean, it's happening now. Believe me, it's going on as I speak, brother. You know.
Yeah.
And to be able to detect that, you have to have the armor of God on you. You know, and when you have the armor of God on you, man, I mean, this has become a daily walk with you, not just on one day out of a week. No, 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 that's not gonna cut it. Not with the devil.
Right.
The devil don't do a once-a-week thing with people who he have controlled their minds, you know what I mean? People out there, as you said,
right.
The kids out there going for what they know. If one take a puff of weed or hit a drug, and all of a sudden it become a lifestyle. That's not once a week,
that's
man.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the devil
working. Yeah. I think you and 2583 are walking in agreement in thought, and that is simply that you cannot do what you're not familiar with. You know, sometimes we hold people to expectations, and it's not fair because they don't know no better. You shouldn't expect a little bitty baby to understand how to navigate a busy street. Ain't been around long enough, right?
If you don't know how to do it.
And I think what 25. I'm sorry, go ahead. What did you say, Pastor?
No, if you don't know how to do it, that's just the way it is. You just don't know. You have to learn.
You just don't know. That don't make you a bad person that you don't know. That don't make you a bad person. But that just means you have to subject yourself to what? Learning. And I'm convinced that when you look at the courts, and I've sat in them, and you work with people in different public settings where individuals are facing the law and things of that nature, quite often their loved ones, their family, are people that are avid churchgoers and religious people, and they're looking for answers. I've had them ask me as a pastor, you know, what does God say about that? What can the church or the ministry do to address these? And oftentimes they don't get a clear answer. Okay?
Yeah,
now, I'm not trying to discourage any congregation, but I'm simply saying that it is important, and you tell me if I'm wrong, 2583, it's important for ministry to be proactive enough to address these realities that they face in society as you try to be obedient to the word of God and adherent to God's word. And that's really what Colossians is talking about.
I'm going to go back to my brother who's saying he's right, because how the devil had done swerved his way on into the church, just like he did up in heaven. And thought the first one to think of a lie and put pride up in him. So in the midst of that, yes, the devil know the word. So that's why he know to go up in the church, because he know if the spirit of God is up in there or not. So he already detected and know if the pastor in tune with God or not. Why? Because he got a whole bunch of ushers out there. really usher is the ones that are supposed to be praying over the church before the church start to pray against these witches and all these other spirits that's supposed to be coming in now. Ushers ain't people to really just set you to no seat. Ushers, usher in the spirit of the Lord. They have changed church settings around pertaining to the church and set it into an organization now where now everybody have to be on certain level in order to be this, and the anointing have done slipped out of the church. So the pastor is the one supposed to be the one that set things in order. So how could the devil creep up in the church? And then if he creeped up in and the pastor didn't see him, then he ain't in position where he's supposed to be with God to recognize what he is. If the ushers ain't doing their job. Ushers are the one that... Huh?
I said help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Well,
that's what he has. He done creeped up in the church. He was the only demon in the Bible that questioned Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he tried to bring Jesus the word. So he already know all that. He stood in the presence of God. So now when we get back to that, now why? Pastors done got into politics now where they don't start letting some of these crooked politicians behind their pulpit.
What?
I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. They let him behind the pulpit to try to win favor in case this man wins, so he can get some favor up in there. And see, God is pushed to the side now. Oh, y'all don't want to talk, do you?
Yeah, I want to talk.
Can I talk?
Okay. So I'm just letting you know. I'm a pastor myself. I've been sitting down here. I've been hid for 13 years. I've been hid. God ain't put me out there yet. He been talking
brother,
to me. He talked to me about so much things, so many things. He showed me so many things. And like I said, it's up to the head, which is the pastor. And then you want to talk about other things, not only politics, but then you got this gay guy running the choir. So in the midst of all this, it's all go back to the head. It all go back to the head. It goes back to the head.
Give me a second. I think you have established a good point. All right. Now, what I'd like to do is see how we can grow from there. Nicole, you seem to be anxious to say something. Go ahead.
No, I'm okay. I'm just listening to what he was saying, and I kind of worked up on that. But I know God said we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the powers and against the world rulers of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. And so this is what I'm getting out of, too.
They let him in the church. When he let him in the church, he allowed the devil to come in there and sit down among them, or sit down among our seat. That's what's going on. We want to know what's going on. You got to understand, if it's a spiritual thing, you got to stay spiritual in dealing with the devil and sit there and be friends with that devil and think that devil going to back off. He's not going to do it.
Yes. Hold on 1 second, bro, preacher. Hold on 1 second. I think you own something. I want to try to bring the conversation together like this. I think you're absolutely right, Pastor. 2583. I think you're absolutely right. As is Pastor Waller. Okay. I've been trying to get you, man. praise God. I'm glad we finally got you. So, Pastor, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people who honestly are trying to serve God understand that not only is God a God of order, but there's an orderly expectation even in the natural world in which we live. And when you are in order with God, you don't have no problem with lining up with the order of society. Now,
one
thing about it is when they we talked about this Tuesday, when they separated the power of church and state, it provided that liberty and freedom for you to worship God according to your own conscience. And can't nobody tell you or me or anybody else you can't be a pastor. They can't regulate that, right? So nobody's controlling your righteousness. That's between you and God. But when you are in the context of American society, there are laws. When you are upright and you're moral and you're orderly, you're not likely to have any problems with the laws of the land. Because even Jesus said, when they asked him about paying taxes, you know, they flipped a coin and asked him, who's in charge here? And he snatched it out the air like this by saying, whose head do you see on? They said, that's Caesar, Augustus Caesar. He said, well, then render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God, I wish I had some help here tonight, what belongs to him.
You got it. You got it.
Yes. 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 So when we balance these expectations between what God said in his holy word, when it comes to our sexuality and the whole nine yards, what did the word of God say? When it comes to the order and structure of family, what did the word of God say? When it comes to working and when it comes to providing, what did the word of God say? See, you understand what I'm saying? I don't care what everybody else is doing in society. The first question you should ask as a believer now, now this don't apply to everybody because everybody don't want to be a believer. They don't subscribe to the word. But as a believer, you, the first question you should ask yourself is, what did the word of God say? Then we consider what the world say or what Caesar said.
And I'm going to go back like my brother said, my brother over there, when he said, when a lot of people don't know, then what they need to do is get with somebody that do know and quit trying
and,
to take matters in their own hands.
Yeah, he's been saying that for a long time. Yeah, he's been saying that a long time.
Is
that
right? Find somebody that do know. And then if you don't know, then, you know, stay in your lane. If you don't know, find, get somebody that do know, can take it to the next level. But you can't. Moses went to the promised land, but he couldn't go over. Joshua went over. God allowed Joshua to go over. Moses couldn't go because he smited the rock.
All right. Go ahead, Pastor. Yeah. What were you going to say, Pastor Waller?
I said, get with somebody that knows is too much like right. You understand? They would think that it would bring harm to get with somebody that knows something. You know, it's
there
just like from going out into the world like I have done, you know, because of the assignment that has been given unto me, you know, one may think that they may know something that they really don't know. I mean, it was the assignment was given to me to go do a particular thing, and I started to do it and be open and willing to do what can be done. And then there are a lot of people that don't know what need to be done, but the brother just said, why don't you get with someone that know? I guess to them it would be too much like that's something too right to do, and like it's going to cause harm or anything. But let me tell you about how what the enemy does so well that on whatever side of town that is on, if a person want to become affiliated with the enemy, he welcomes them because he has
right.
more for them to do to enter into his kingdom, you see. And then here goes God's kingdom, got some information that's available. You know, the word says that one is willing and obedient and ready to distribute it, but yet still people would refuse to go through it because they feel like, no, I don't want to deal with that person because they'd have to give them the credit. That's ludicrous, but it happens that way.
Well,
so you have all this information to yourself, you know what I mean? And no, see, I was a drug slinger, and I used to distribute and supply my community, right? And I didn't keep all that stuff to myself. I distributed that stuff. That's why I became a messenger for God, because I distributed drugs. I supplied the drugs. I made sure the drugs were all over here at all times. You know, and I was not that God is good because I didn't utilize God's name in vain. I didn't know him. You see?
Well, Pastor,
so I understand why the devil would go up into the church because there's a lot of people in church that don't know God with a Bible in their hand but still don't know him.
Right.
So he enters into the church and he posts up. And I can understand why he would post up, you know, in the church because, you know, a lot of people in the church do not know what the word of God is saying, and so that's amazing, man. But it's
going. Hold that thought right there, Pastor Waller. Hold that thought. Let me lean on you right quick. Let me lean on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
you made a good point. If you don't know, go to somebody who knows. Let me raise this question to you because this is very relevant. Let's keep in mind now that the word of God is no good to a dying man if we don't provide it for him, right? And there are many people who are literally dying for answers. Okay, Pastor Waller, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep these young folk that are wayward, that are caught up out there, from becoming a victim of the criminal justice system?
That's a good
Pastor
question.
Waller.
I'm going to answer that.
Hold on one second, Pastor Sam. Let me go to Pastor Waller, and then we'll come right to you. I want you to respond too, but Pastor Waller.
You do the number one thing. You go out there because he gives you the instruction to say, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature includes them. Those people who are out there who no one feel like they're worthy of it by saying, okay, well, they're doing this, they're doing that. But because I came from that, I know that they're worthy of it. They're called good ground. When you got people out there, and the word of God, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor. The word of God says this right here. They don't wait 3 months or 6 months and then say they come harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and look up on the field. They are white already for harvest. In other words, they're out there crying right now. So,
yes, they
you
are.
Know, don't pass them by when you leave the church house. Don't pass them by. Have something because the tree is known by the fruit it bears. If you bear fruit, you can't go by them like that. But if you don't bear no fruit, I see why you ride by them. And that's the only way you can get out of these ditches. You got to get out on the ground. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the labor is our feet. And that's,
right.
and that's how you do it. Yes, sir.
All
that's
right.
the way you
Great.
Do it.
Great point. Let me go to Pastor Sam's. Pastor, go ahead.
I can relate to what my brother was saying, but I just want to add just a few more in there. The Bible lets you know that he that winneth souls is wise. Because I was once young myself. Once was a drug user, drug dealer, did it all, did everything.
Okay.
Devil's best friend. I can put it just like that. I was his best friend. So
your
in the midst
friend.
Of all that, like I said, you got to know how to approach. Approach is always that you have to be able to do if you want to deal with young people. Because now they're looking at older people, generation, don't know them. So you got to know how to do it. He that winneth souls is wise. Everybody's different. They're not the same. So you got to know how to approach the young people. And you got to let them know, hey, man, I did that. I've done that. Hey, girl, I've done all that right there. But if you know, looking a certain way to them and they don't figure that you can see them how they are and accept them as they are, because in order for you to catch a fish, you got to know what bait to use to catch them. You got to know what bait. Fish just ain't gonna hop in the boat. They just ain't gonna hop on your hook. You got to know what bait to use to deal with the young people. And let God allow us to be through so much stuff for us to go back and use these same techniques. Because we were once there. Paul said we were once Gentiles. We were just like that. We should know how to deal with them because we were one like this. But you know what? Like my brother said, a lot of people ain't going back to the harvest. They're not going back. They done got saved, and they want to stay on this side and don't want to talk to nobody else but saved people.
Okay. Yeah. Great point. Well, let me add this to what you're saying. Let me add this to what you're saying. All right. Let me add this to what you're saying. Now, for those that are out there already, they frankly need to be arrested from where they are. But I don't mean necessarily by the police. But for those of us who know the truth and know the faith, we must arrest them. Now, when we arrest them, where are we going to take them? They need to go someplace where they can get wholesome and honest instruction. But for those who hadn't got there yet, for the younger children, we need to begin to be an example and a light and permeate that in families so that these values be taught to young children. As they grow up and they go out into society, they don't have such conflict. That's what's missing. Why do I keep focusing on families? Because that's the sponsor of this show tonight, Building Families and Community Institute. We've taken an academic and a research-based approach to help build and improve the quality of life for people and families.
But I'm
going to
share it just like this. But there's a lot of kinfolk that don't want to be bothered with you. There's a lot of kinfolk still doing the same thing. So you got family people that you don't know can treat out on the street can treat you better than your own family.
Hey, Pastor, hold on 1 second, please. Let me, I'm going to go right back to you. Give me a second.
Oh, that's
what
deep.
Happens is that within the context of society, you have families growing up with certain values, and those values pass on to their children. Good or bad. I'm not saying anybody's good or bad as a person. I'm just identifying the nature of the problem. Now, we talked about how... Hold on 1 second, darling. I'm coming right back to y'all in just a second. We talked about how the Bible have certain expectations. And we know that in the law of the land, there are expectations. We've got to learn how to bridge those two so that not only are the righteous, but the unrighteous have hope and opportunity not to get caught up in the snares of the devil, even in the criminal justice, because the devil's in the criminal justice system, too, like he's in the church. All right?
Yes.
So that is vitally important. Now, Pastor Sam, you were trying to say something, then Nicole, we're going to come to you. Go ahead, Pastor Sam.
I was saying just like Jesus, and I see how he was doing when he was walking on this earth. Jesus was so smooth that he dealt with a lot of people that wasn't even saved. But he know how
right.
to deal with them, and a lot of them end up even getting their life over to Jesus. So,
sure.
like my brother was right here, when you out there, you got to understand the things that you done accumulated from the world and you done got saved. It, like he said, that harvest is plenty. But that's why he said the laborers fruit. Jesus said, pray to the Father that he send laborers. See, now God is getting some labor. God got some remnants. He got some folks that he getting ready to. It's going to be a switch in the spiritual realm. God's going to get ready to send some folks out here on this land and get these people. Because a lot of people really just done walked away. A lot of people think church is a joke. They think pastors are pimp and whores and preachers are money grabbers. And I'm talking about they think police, all police officers. Because I have police officers in my ministry. And they ain't
okay.
like that on the street. So I know that for
sure.
a fact. Especially they with me. They not like that. So in
okay.
the midst of that, the devil had done changed a whole lot of stuff with positive into a whole negative thing. So they put all of them in the same boat. So if that police right there dirty, all the rest of the 100,000 are dirty. So if that preacher right there crooked, all the rest of the 100,000 preachers are crooked. But just like you said, you got to be able to separate the two. So in the midst of all that, you got to know how to approach a situation. When you get ready to approach it, you got to use wisdom. And to win them, you got to be able to know what it takes to win that person. I can
right.
understand the
all
Big
right.
Brother program. They have all that. And that, to a certain extent, grabbing them together and everything. But then they still need that spiritual life. They need that spiritual life. You know, you bringing them in off the streets and doing all this, but you still need that prayer life. You need a prayer life. You can't walk this earth without a prayer life. You still need God in your life to do what you got to do.
Okay. All right. Let me bring Nicole in, Pastor. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just gonna say he right, because sometimes your family don't want to help, and they got their own issues and their own problems, so it ain't just on the family neither. You know, you can even call on a Congress or a senator or something like that. Some of those people ain't trying to do their job neither.
Okay.
So you can't do nothing but call on God and His people. But some of their people, his people, don't want to help move it.
Okay. It sounds
she
like
a,
to me.
She got a point.
So that's why some of these crimes is being committed, because if you don't know no better and if you don't have no conscience, you can easily be set up and go back to jail or go to jail or whatever or commit a crime. And, you know, you got to have faith. You got to have strength that, okay, no matter what, it might not be happening right now, but it's going whatever it's your will, God, it's gonna be okay. But still, these people shouldn't get away with just going around doing all kind of stuff to people and thinking it's okay, because people are out here, they don't know who to trust, and they don't want to call the police because the police is not doing nothing either. They riding with them because that is the system. They all ride together. It's a system, and the system is ridiculous if they ride together like that. That's not right.
Okay. So what it sounds like is there is certainly a need for some teaching around a lot of things, because Pastor Sams is correct that everybody that is a police or everybody that is a preacher and so forth, they're not guilty like all the others who may have done you wrong. Okay, but I want to emphasize tonight that when we talk about balancing the expectations of the Bible and the law, that it's important that you know what the Bible says. It's equally important that you know what the law says. And when that is the case, you're in a much better position to know how to be in line with both of them. Now, something that I said was absolutely right. You've got to know how to reach the young folks. Now, we did a lot of talking last year about what the problem was, and we identified where these things exist. Is that right, Pastor Waller? And now what we're hoping or what we're striving to do is to, now that we know who it is, where it is, what we want to do is to how to solve. Now, the first thing we got to do, just based on this conversation, is our local churches have to be held to account to make sure that the devil's not in the mix of things, but the word of truth is guiding ministry and word and motivation and things of that nature. Would you all agree with that?
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Sure enough, right.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
You know, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of people who are experiencing church hurt. And it's because they went with their hands in the air in surrender, saying, I need. And when they got there, all they did was got cracked upside the head with some food.
I just figured they should pray to God and get to have them send them to a pastor with after a man or woman after his own heart. Because maybe that God was showing them something in the church about what was going on, because every time it ain't good for you to run and not hear from what God's trying to show you, because a lot of time we see stuff, we say, bump that junk, it ain't going back there. But you don't seek God on where to go. I can understand, because I stayed at home for a minute. I stayed at home, you know, said, bump that junk. I spent time with God, but then God let me know that I still had to go and get a covering. So I had to pray to God to lead me after a man of God, after your own heart, God. That's what a lot of us don't, because he said he would give pastors after his own heart. He said in Jeremiah, I give you pastors after my own heart. He said that.
Sure.
And they will feed you. So a lot of us don't want to go back to church no more and be fed.
And I don't always be looking for nothing neither, because for one, I would be a living witness, and I'm going to share my testimony. I don't go to church looking for nothing. I don't need nobody to pay my light bill. I don't, you know, I might struggle, but guess what? If I do, it's going to be between me and God. I do not like asking men for nothing. I don't care if I got to go backwards. I don't like asking men for nothing. So I don't go to church looking for no hands out. I don't go to church asking nobody to pay no bill. I just go because that's the right proper thing to do, and I want the spiritual growth and, you know, get to learn about what God has for me and all of that stuff, and supposed to congregate with my brothers and sisters, like it said in the Bible, you know, and get and receive the covenant and anointing and all that Holy Ghost filled and fire and all that stuff that I see people supposed to be having and stuff like that. So it's not like you, like some people say it is. You can get church hurt just by something that happens, and you wondering why is this happening? Because I know it ain't nothing but the devil. Because the devil gonna attack you anyway when you trying to do what's right. You're gonna be attacked, and I noticed that. But still, in the meantime, in the midst, you is supposed to be the head or the shepherd of the flock. Why did you allow your flock to go astray when you not who you say you will? You can find out a person if something come about, you know what I'm saying? And that's how I end up finding out about certain people.
Okay. Now, the truth is, everybody's going to say, Pastor Sam, God sent me, and I'm his right-hand man. Okay? And, you know, and you can see these same issues that we're talking about prevalent, and they will say that I'm the man or the woman of God. And you just got to trust that. Now, we talked about how separation of church and state, you know. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's hard to try to get everybody who say they are the man to realize that there's a problem. Now, what's happening in the church world is that there are a lot of people belong to church who are having a hard time in society. And they want to know, how can I use the instruction from the Word of God to resolve those? Yeah, I don't want to get into telling people where you got to go, but I think it's a good point. You know, when you go there, look for truth and righteousness that will improve your quality of life. And maybe if you can find that, that's an indication.
Lord, and ask the Lord to lead me to where I need to go. It still go back to prayer. Everything go back to prayer. And like you said, any situation need to come, God used different people in the Bible for different situations, just like the children of Israel when they went back to rebuild the temple. He used Ezra, Zerubbabel, and Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one that set up the government system for the people after they got the doors, the gates built.
And he knew Zerubbabel to go back and get them priests that was having sex with these different tribes when they was in captivity. Now, but why? Because that was child support came from. Because those priests had to pay those women and get over, take care of them kids that when they was entangled with them, when they were messed up as Samaritans, they was messing up having sex with them. And when they went back to their homeland, some of them children from them different from Assyria and all them, they had women's babies from them women. They had to take care of them children. So ain't nothing changed. The Bible is still the same. Ain't nothing new under the sun. It just we're just in moderation with it. Now they go through the court system if you want to get your get child support. But Zerubbabel started all that. So ain't nothing changed. God method changed, but not His word. He changed but not His word.
He'll go ahead, Nicole, right quickly. Then we're gonna go take a brief break. Go ahead, Nicole.
But why is prayers sitting there? Because you can pray all day, but why is some prayers just sitting there? Because some prayers is just it's just sitting there. Some prayers is something that you can't do, and they're sitting there. Some is action prayers.
According to His will. A lot of time we pray to God and don't even ask Him, is it His will?
Okay.
We ask God, is it according to your will? That's what we ask God. See, we can ask God for anything you pray for, but He said, Jesus said, ask in my name. But in other words, you can still got to ask God, it's according to His will. It is your will, God. That's what a lot of us are missing. Asking God, is this according to His will?
Right. Nicole, that's a relevant question, and I appreciate Pastor Sam's responding to it. Let me do this. I do have one more question that I want to pose for before tonight. We got about 28 minutes. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The number to call us here live is 657-383-0944. We appreciate those of you on Facebook that have been following us, and we encourage you to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We'll be right back after this brief message, and we will bring it back again on the other side of it. All right.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Thank you.
listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're talking tonight from the topic, how to balance the expectations of the Bible and the law. We have on with us tonight Pastor Sams. We're grateful for him sitting in with us tonight, as well as our regular panelists, good friend Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Steel High, very powerful book about how to a man who's transformed his life from a life of sin and destruction to now being light of upliftment for many. Steel High, Pastor Ricky Waller is with us tonight, and Nicole is with us as well. We invite you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. We still have about 24 minutes here before our show is over. When we left, you heard the advertisement announcement. That's really who we're targeting, Pookie. Pookie's in a jam, and Pookie don't know God, don't know how to pray, and don't know nothing about his word. But Pookie need a word of salvation. I want to pose this question to the listening audience. And Pastor Waller, you there, sir?
I am.
Okay. And answer this for me, Pastor. You start off, then I'll get Pastor Sam to weigh in, and perhaps Nicole, if she would like to. Why do these laws exist anyway? Why do we have to even fool with these laws? That's the question. That's
good question. Yeah, very good question, I would say. You know, I take it upon myself to just realize that the law was given but never obeyed. And that's the point why they're being given, because you can prosper from making laws, especially when you got people like myself. At my early stage, I was ignorant, unlearned. Whom better to set a law in motion than somebody that's like myself, ignorant? You know?
What?
I say that. Yeah, I was very ignorant, man.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what I would have done if I had been familiar with it, but I just didn't know. So I paid a price for it. And it didn't have anything to do with me doing good or bad or right or wrong. It had to do with it was just a law I was given. But check this out, though. The scripture says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world.
You see,
it just happened to be one man. So I was sin, didn't have to do nothing. It just happened like that. Okay, fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, you had a chance to prevent something from happening by way of saying, hey, they got a law going on right here. Now I got to realize that they would arrest me for this. Well, back then I didn't know. So it was no thing with me. I mean, I'm doing it for fun, trying to enjoy myself, not even realizing, man, this right here can get you sent to the penitentiary, you know. But by that time, I'm locked into it. You see how it can trap your mind and things like that. So, you know, that law is a vicious law. I say vicious, I mean, yeah, man, it's intentional.
Pastor, you said something that struck me. That's very interesting. You said that your experience positioned you to make relevant laws that can help folks. Did I get that wrong?
That can help folks, okay. Yeah, that can do folks some harm.
So you're in a position to become a spirit-led legislator.
Yeah.
You're in a position to become a spirit-led legislator. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yes, you're going to prosper from these laws, brother. You know what I mean?
All right.
You're going to take a person that's ignorant and unlearned, like myself.
Okay.
And know anything about no law, and I'm getting ready to do something that the quotes call breaking the law.
I
mean, where did that come from? I mean, I'm breaking the law. What do you mean I'm breaking the law? Okay. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. So we got to wake our people up, brother.
Okay. Okay. Paul said I was the chiefest of sinners at one time.
Yeah.
You understand? I persecuted the people of God. Come on, Pastor Sam, talk to me, man. How do these laws exist in the first place?
Because of sin. That's what it is.
Say what?
Because of sin. Because of sin.
Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old.
Adam was a perfect man. Adam is the only one, him and Eve, the only one know about perfect. We don't know about perfect.
David said, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So when he ate of the tree, the sin came in, because it was only one commandment at first. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The day that you eat of that is the day you shall die. And when he ate of it, his eye was open and he hid. And God came through the garden on the cool of the day looking for him, because usually he didn't have to look for Adam. This time, because now shame done came. And he said, I knew you were coming, I hid from you. He said, I was naked. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? Because it one by one commandment.
Okay.
After that, the law had to come, because Jesus had to come through in order to deal now, because now there are things that done went against what the word of God said.
Mm-hmm.
So the law,
mm-hmm.
the land had to be established now. And that goes back to, like you said, whose superscription is this on this coin? They said Caesar. He said, run unto Caesar was unto Caesar. Run unto God was unto God. So,
that's
yeah, the
right.
law came in for the land now, because sin was in the midst.
I see. And is it fair to
no
say
law.
That?
It wouldn't have been, because the world was perfect.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be sitting at the phone discussing nothing if he wouldn't have ate of the tree.
That's true.
We wouldn't
that's
be sitting
true.
Here talking about all this. We wouldn't be dealing with
well,
no sin, dealing with hard-headed kids, dealing with all this and that.
So is it fair to say that all of this is a byproduct of disobedience, sin and disobedience?
That's where it comes
even
from.
The man's laws himself were generated to control man, because we were out of control.
Adam didn't even have to pick his own food or nothing. His food was already there. But when he sinned, the Bible let him know he's going to sweat from his brow now. Now, if he want an apple, he got to go climb a tree and get it. So, yeah, the law is in effect now. Why? Because of disobedience. Disobedience ain't nothing but sin. And I asked God what the definition of sin. He told me stink in nostril.
Let me go to Nicole. Nicole, what about it, darling? Why do you think these laws exist in the first place?
To keep us there and keep us in charge.
Wait a minute, Nicole.
To keep us in slavery.
Go ahead, Nicole. Explain to us what you mean.
To keep us there and keep us in slavery, because why? For the simple fact, you got to understand something. Some of the laws that's put in place is to keep us down and to keep us in slavery, because why? For the simple fact, they don't want to admit to who had authorization over this country. They don't want to admit that black folks had the authorization over this country. And they put us in a position to make us look like they had control, the white, whatever you want to call it. I'm not prejudiced no kind of way, but I'm just telling you the truth. Because I've been doing my history, and I've been studying a lot of stuff. So it's to put us in slavery. Some of it's to put us in slavery and to keep us down. Because
Nicole, you heard my monologue, right? And in the monologue, I mentioned that since 1865, December 31st, 1865, I assume by us you mean people of Negro descent, blacks, colored. We've been free to exercise all the rights and privileges of an American citizen. Well, not technically, because it wasn't 1860 that we had the 14th Amendment, but roughly around that time. So you don't think that that was an opportunity for you to express that freedom? Or what do you think about that, Nicole?
We are still in slavery. We are still under slavery in so many ways, but one, we can be free in our mind through God's grace and his mercy, because some of us know how to pray and some of us know how to read the Bible. But that don't mean that we completely is free. We have to obey. It's still things we have to deal with. And we as people, and everybody can agree with this, we still got stuff we want to be able to do, and we not able to do.
Let me offer this to you, Nicole, as a direct answer. And you may or may not agree with it. But the laws of America.
Of you say that we are.
Huh?
I'm reading right now, and I'm in the in. And
well,
I'm
let me
off maybe 38 and
all right, hold on 1 second. Let me offer this for your consideration, okay? Laws are created to ensure that there is safety, order, and fairness for all black, white, Hispanic, everybody, members of society. Okay? Now, sometimes it's necessary to look at those laws to ensure that they are fair and just. Ensure that some people are not being safe and others are not. That's why we have a legislative process and we have the court system. But in general, the laws are designed for orderly society. And that's why they exist. Now, to your point, there are instances where many people, not just blacks, they feel as though they're not getting a fair hand. But you do have, you, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. The wrong way to express that things are unfair is for you to take violence and try to exact it. I'll give you a good example. Are y'all familiar with Gina, Louisiana? The incident of the Gina 6 back in 2006, I believe it was. Any of y'all heard about that? Well, here it goes. That was a situation where some African-American males were sitting under a tree and some white males approached them about an issue, and one of them had a noose. Well, the white boy had a shotgun and yielded it up as if he was threatening or pointed at him. Little black boy took the gun, whipped his behind real bad, and the little white boy ran and said, hey, told the police, they trying to kill us. Well, they arrested the young man, sent him through the court system, and the district attorney was trying to charge them with severe crimes when they were being bothered first. Well, a lot of people saw that, and they went to Gina, Louisiana, a little town of about 3,000 people. And they tell me over 70-some thousand people converged on that little town and shook it up. What they did not do, though, Nicole, is, to my knowledge, nobody went to the Louisiana State Capitol and challenged the laws on the books that allowed that district attorney to go rogue like he did. So that was never dealt with. Oh, you went down and made a lot of fuss and shook the town up, but you did not stop the root cause of the problem, and that was the unfairness of that law. In fact, other laws that were on the in the Louisiana codes annotated. So what I'm saying is, if we are rational, I think this is what Pastor Sams and Pastor Waller were saying earlier, if we are calm and we are rational, we are prayerful, and we got our head on when we face these circumstances, we can come out a whole lot better in the end than we will allow our anger and frustration to cause us to fly off the handle and lose it. What do you think about that, Nicole? Nicole, you there?
Yeah. Uh-huh, I'm here. You could probably,
okay.
You could probably, that shit don't mean nothing. Because at the end of the day, Pastor, I'm, like I said, I can, even from down to right here, I'm reading something from the Bible, and it says, get many of them sin and are unfaithful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the law. This is talking about the law.
Now, where are you reading from, Nicole?
I'm asking the Psalms 89:38-45.
Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, good. How do we, sir, tell angry people that they have to be obedient to the law or else face consequences?
How to treat angry people.
Yes, sir. That they have to be obedient to the law or they're going to face some negative consequences.
Yes. It's hard to tell an angry person something like that, because the word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? And if you present
That's
the word
true.
Of God and they're not familiar with it and you're not on their level, they may reject it, but that does not stop you from speaking the word of God, because that's the only way they'll be able to hear. And it says, let them that have ears to hear, let them hear. You see, and at
okay.
that point, you have to understand what it means to not know. And that's what being lost is all about, you know, being in a powerless position as they could be in at that point. You know how the enemy, when you're sold up under sin, that means that you have to obey it. And if that person is angry and been in the sin for a while and really don't know, and then you bring in forth information, and if they hear it, you see, that's when it kicks in, because the only thing that's going to help them is truth. You know how the word of God says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you have to speak it in spite of whether you think they're angry or not. Sometimes an angry person say, I don't want to hear nothing about no word of God. I mean, I've heard people say that before.
I've heard them say it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so you know, but do you withdraw from them because of that, or do you understand them at that point?
Okay.
I say, you know, if you don't know, you just don't know. So it's a probably difficult thing. Now, I won't give my opinion, but I will give what I know that actually works. You know, I found out that it actually worked. It's better to have it than to need it, than to need it and don't have it. So if you speak it and the person mess around and receive it, they'll have it. But if you don't speak it, they don't have it because they never had it from the start. So that's a kind of tough situation. So I was just told to go tell them, you know, tell them what works. Sometimes you have to wait on it. Once you find out, you see, you know, Isaiah 40:31, and they that wait, you know, up on the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes they just need to hear encouraging word, even though they're angry. You know, they still need to hear encouraging. You just never know. That very moment, they could change.
Let me ask Pastor Sams. Pastor Sams, would you agree that first you have to address their anger before you get them to be rational at all? Because an angry individual is irrational. What you agree with that, Pastor?
An angry person have a one-track mind at that time.
That's right.
And dealing with an angry person, when you're dealing with an angry person, if you can get to them, you have to ask them what they're angry about.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Process them through that anger. And
that's
ask them, what's eating at you?
Go to the source. Go to the source what caused you to be that way.
There you go.
Because a lot of times, even if a person don't commit suicide, they just don't wake up and do that. It have to gradually come.
Something
it come through depression. It come through situations and stuff. What are you angry about? How did you get to that place? It's like a pot on the stove. Once the top is on and it boils, it steams up. So evidently, we had to find out you just not angry, just being angry. Something had to trigger you to get to this place.
Yeah.
What are you angry
about?
And
you know what, Pastor? Sometimes it's hard for us to get to that point because we feel justified in being angry. But one central element of anger is being afraid of what may happen next, because you don't really know what to expect, and
that's
your anxiety builds up because you don't know what's coming next.
That's
but when you stop
and be honest
and think
with
about
an angry person is really a person that really don't want to be upset, but since they upset, they got to, you know, they got to let it out.
They're going with it.
They really want some peace.
Yeah, sure they do. So when we talk about balancing Bible and law, it's important to understand that what both of them share in common is an expectation.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the expectation that you govern yourself by some rule. See,
that's
either
right.
Either it's the rule of God or it's the rule of the land that we live in. You still got to govern
yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if
that's
you don't,
right.
you set yourself up for the consequences of disobedience.
And because a lot of people don't know the word, they don't know how to apply it to the problem that they're dealing with.
True.
As far as
True.
They're dealing with a law, then let's go see what God say about this. And if you don't know how to do it, then it's good to just sometimes be quiet and listen. But like I said,
That's
if
true.
The devil see you and he know he got you and he know he's got you to that place, well, now it's rising up in you, all types of thoughts finna come to your mind.
Sure.
Now he'll bring it there. He'll bring it there.
He'll bring it for you.
Yes, he can, because he's a good deceiver. He's a good deceiver. Next thing you know, there you go in jail.
Wow.
Huh?
Off of impulse.
There you go. And now the conviction comes back to convict you and let you know that what you just did was wrong. Oh, now you can hear now, because now you're in a place where you're sitting down, because now you can hear. Huh?
You know, Pastor, we got just a few minutes here, but I have visited many of good brothers in jail, and the afterthought was, if I only.
Only. That took a minute to think. Yeah.
Good brothers, man. Good brothers. If I only stopped to think about it, things would have turned differently.
And what a person don't realize, before you do anything, whether it's good or bad, brother, it first become a thought.
It starts with a thought. And there are three steps, Pastor, to making a choice or a decision. The thought
there
is
you, go.
You process it, weigh
there
it out,
go.
Good or bad.
There
and
you
then
go.
Based on
there
that
you
thinking, you make a move. But some people who act off impulse, they go straight from the thought into action. And before they know it, they done said or done something that they'll live to regret or die not to be able to deal with anymore. So,
and sometimes
man,
you
look,
make matters worse. Sometimes you make matters more worse.
Yeah. We're down at the three and a half minute mark. Let me try to get a final word from everybody, and then we'll, man, whoo, time is flying. Do you know this is the 25th of the month already? January is already gone. My God. Pastor, right quick, I'll come to you last, Pastor. Give me about 30 seconds there, Pastor Pastor Sams, a final word, then we hear from Nicole, and Pastor Waller wrap us up.
I'm just praying that everybody, we walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen. God, that's what a powerful word. Nicole, bless you, darling. Any final thought before we leave?
I just want to say, Lord, help us to have the right attitude to all those who we put in opposition over us, whether in the church or in the state. Help us to submit your good grace, even if we disagree.
Amen. Bless you, Nicole.
Amen.
Pastor Waller, wrap us up here, Doc, on our way out of here.
It's just good to get to know God, man. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So there's an opportunity that anybody can get to know him if they just believe and reach out and be open to hearing his word, man. It don't take but a moment to change your life. And, be encouraged.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, time has gotten the best of us now, and we'll be back next Tuesday night. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery, www.efcinstitute.com. Please learn about what we do and support our calls here continuously. We just got back from one of our target cities working with the police department, and I'll be bringing further information down the road about that and when we talk about our crime intervention advocacy piece coming up there. Thank you, guys, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Pastor Sam, thank you. Nicole, thank you. Pastor Wallace, always, thank you very much. We're going to leave on this note with an inspiring thought about a hero.